Well, you got your place there in Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And I'd like to read a few verses here, starting in verse 12. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your word. That's just right what we need every day. Lord, as we look to it, we want it to have a sweet lodging place and good fertile ground to fall upon. I pray that we would not be hard in our hearts in any way, but tender. And I just thank you for how you've been working through this series of emotionally healthy discipleship. And I pray tonight that you would do it again. Be with our teens, with our summer program, all of us here tonight. Just lead us and help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, we almost finished up the section last week on the mark of emotionally healthy discipleship on breaking free from our past. And that is much easier said than being done, but it is most definitely a part of becoming a disciple for many reasons. One of the main reasons I think of it is the fact that when I got born again, I became a new creation. I'm a new creature in Christ. And what does it say? What passed away? Old things. Old things passed away. And behold, what does it say? All things become what? New. So I'm not what I used to be. I was talking to somebody recently, you know, I'm not where I need to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. We're growing in grace, but I look at my past life before Christ, and some of you may were saved at a very young age, and you don't recall all necessarily the old patterns of life that may have been there. But here's one thing you can relate to: the fact that even after you got saved, you still had an old nature who lived out, who wanted to live out the sinful life of the old nature. Okay, it's still there. He's still there. But I'm a new creature. So there are some things that I learned from my dad that I'm having to unlearn. Some things from my mom and things that they learned from their parents, they passed down. But there's also things that I learned from them. Much I learned from them. And I thank God for the things I learned. And I hope even if you didn't have a good upbringing, perhaps I'm speaking to some folks that really you had a very rough childhood and just have some very difficult memories there. And I pray the Lord will continue to give you healing and help you through that. But what I encourage you to do is try to find the positives, the things that you did learn through that and the things that you're able to do now because of that history. Perhaps you've been able to connect with a different person and sympathize with them more so. There are bright things that you can look at, positive ways that you can look at it in your past. But I learned some things, and I'm still unlearning some habits that I just grew up. As for 18 years, it was not uncommon for in the Jennings household for who could get the loudest. Okay, when there was a disagreement. All right, so who could keep climbing with the highest volume? Did anybody else grow up in a home like that? Now, y'all are not being truthful, okay? How many of you in a home like that right now? No, don't raise your hand, okay? But with all seriousness, you know, I've had to
I've had to work on that, and I'm continuing to work on that. I don't need to yell if they're in the same room, especially. Now if they're upstairs, you know, maybe give it a little bit more liberty. But nevertheless, there are some things like that. When I think of another thing that my dad, that I remember that I get from my dad, as I've mentioned this before, is that he could be critical. And so the Lord's helped me with that. And I hope last week, after we talked about that a little bit, I hope you've thought about that and will think about it in days ahead. What is it that I really, well, maybe was really even unaware of that I inherited just through learning my parents' habits that I still practice today that's not good, that's some way harmful? I hope you'll never stop unlearning things that perhaps you had growing up. That's a part of sanctification. We're learning to be more like Jesus. We're in the family of God now, and that's the characteristics that God wants us to exhibit. And again, this is not speaking being bitter or like, I can't believe I had to grow up in that. No, that's the wrong attitude. God in His sovereignty allowed us to be in the families that we were. Okay? And it's nothing to be bitter about. God allowed it, and God's using it right now in your life and my life for His glory. And so how thankful I am for that. So with all that being said, as we close out this mark of a disciple, think about the context of a local church. All right? So tonight, just in this room, say we have maybe 50, 60 people. Of course, all the kids around. But even on a Sunday morning, sometimes we'll have 150, 160 more sometimes. Nevertheless, my point is, think about the context here. You got that many people coming into one congregation. And not only do we come in and worship together, but we serve together, right? We live life together in many regards. We're bringing a lot into one place from our past. Everyone has a past here. Things that maybe you learned and things that you experienced that weren't good. But we bring good experiences too. We bring good upbringings, things we learned. But here's my point in teaching us this of being disciples. As God's people, we have to learn to be more long-suffering and gracious with one another. Because we don't realize where each of us has come from. What each of us has been through. The hurts that we've experienced, the habits that we've learned, that we didn't choose that, but we did learn it and we're unlearning it. And one of the beauties about the local church, God's people coming together, we're all so different, we're all so unique, and we all have so many different pasts that we're still healing from, we're growing from, we're growing through. And that's the beautiful picture. And if there's any place where God's people ought to feel safe, even with some of those hurts, hang-ups, or habits, or whatever it is, and just things they're seeking to grow through, where they ought to feel safe and where they can feel a place where they can come and grow, it ought to be the local church. It ought to be where we learn to live out fully this new family of ours. We're all learning, if I could say, the new way of life. Our new family. The family of God. So it requires an unlearning of unhealthy patterns from our past and really unbiblical family commandments. I mean, even that exists. You know, the old saying my dad used to say, you maybe heard it before, son, do as I say, not as I do. Now that worked when I was probably 7 or 8 years old, but when I started getting older than that, up in my preteens and teens, I'm like, mm-mm. But I don't hold that against Dad. Dad, I couldn't have asked for a better dad. He was perfect for me. And I love and honor him. He's in heaven. But I'm so thankful for the things he taught me. I wouldn't be standing right here apart from his strong discipline in my life as a teenager.
And so I don't disrespect my father at all in saying that, but we do. So the New Testament assumes that we are all growing and maturing disciples of Jesus. And that is a sign of a healthy local church. As you could put it this way, we're all in some regards being reparented. And I hope and pray that we all are submitting to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and doing life Christ way. And so as I think upon this verse tonight, I want to read. I received this as a gift when I graduated Bible college, but it's the Weiss commentary. He does a commentary on a few of the New Testaments, but he also did what he called an expanded translation. So it's not a translation of the Bible, it's just an expanded translation to give a little bit clearer meaning on some of the Greek words, like their tense. In other words, if it was a perfect tense or aorist tense, it just clarifies it a little bit with English words. And of course, it would be a bit redundant reading it in our regular Bible. But for clarity's sake, when you're seeking to study out the Word, these things are good to look at. And I want to read his translation, his expanded translation of what we just read together, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. So let me get to it here. I lost my place. I had it. Here we go. All right. Colossians chapter 3. Here we go. All right. Put on, therefore, as your spiritual apparel, as chosen out ones of God, saints and beloved ones, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, considerateness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a matter of complaint against anyone, even as and in the degree, so I'll say that again, even as and in the degree that the Lord forgave you, in the same manner also you forgive. And upon all these, put on divine and self-sacrificial love, which is a binding factor of completeness. I thought that was a great expanded translation of those verses. And one of the things that stood out to me, and again, reading in the context of lots of different people coming from different backgrounds with different paths, going through different stuff, we want to grow in being considerate of one another. It's so important. We're all breaking free and unlearning things. So let's be forbearing. Let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. And I just thank God that that's God's way. Aren't you thankful that's the Lord's way? And what a beautiful thing it is. And it helps us to get along. It helps us to just have a healthy appreciation of one another, because you just don't know where others have been. But you certainly want to extend the love of Christ to them, and especially as they're unlearning things that they don't really like. Joanne and I were having a discussion, and I'm not going to go into detail what we said, but we were on our sabbatical and we just talked about this, and it was a good spirit-filled, cordial relationship, but it was healthy. And what we did is we talked about what we don't like about ourselves. That was interesting. Now, I didn't express what I don't like about her. You don't understand. I didn't like what I don't like about me. I like everything about Joanna. I'm telling you right now. No. But with all being said, except when she tells me that I'm just not going to go there. Let me just...
y'all laugh, I tell you, but she helped me out the other day after Sunday. She says, you know, honey, you didn't say that exactly right. I said, I know. Talking about, you know, the women appreciating the husband to say. What I was trying to say is that, let me further explain. I was like, what our wives like is to, for husbands to say, honey, it's going to be okay. But it didn't come out that way. You ever say things and it didn't come out right? I also could have said, it's not what they want, but it's what they need.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
I just messed myself up, didn't I? Oh, my word. Oh, goodness. There's no hope for Pastor. But with all seriousness, that's what I was trying to convey, is that, you know, there are times where we just got to be like, oh, it's going to be all right. And it is going to be okay. God's going to take care of us, and we need to trust Him. But I don't even remember how I got off on that. But, oh, yeah, I liked everything about Joanna. So what we discussed is, and it was all in serious, it was very, again, gentle. But I expressed to her, and I became very vulnerable, and I said, honey, here are some things I don't like about me. And quite frankly, it was some of the things that I had kind of grown up and some things I'd learned, some bad habits. And she shared with me, too, some things that she doesn't like about herself. Now, this is not talking about how we look or those things like that. But it's just talking about some bad habits and some bad views, the way we see things and the way we respond to things, that kind of stuff. And so it may be a good conversation, you know, for you, because I don't. There are some things that I don't like the way I respond, the way I act. But I asked her in all sincerity, Lord, please, honey, pray for me in that area. I don't want to continue being that way. I don't want to be just like, that's just who I am. And so I want to encourage you to be vulnerable and just be willing to say to someone that you trust, please pray for me in this area. That's not who I want to be in my life. It's not the way I want to grow and mature in Christ and follow in the pattern of Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your people tonight. I'm so thankful that we're all growing in grace. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to show us those areas where we're not acting like your children in your family. And Lord, that maybe we learned as in our past, pray you'd give us the power and grace to unlearn those things and put on the new life of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the dear, precious folks here tonight. I just appreciate them coming out in this midweek service. And Lord, I just pray you'd now lead us now into our prayer time. And we'll be thankful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.